In your Bibles, Mark chapter number 16. Thank you for being here, and thank you for all that's already been done today, the music, and certainly the preaching we've heard. And I look forward to what God has for us throughout the day. Mark chapter number 16, I'm going to read the first seven verses in just a moment. But before I preach, it's been such a blessing already this morning, hasn't it? And last night, and I know many of you, it's your first time, but many of you have been here years before leading up, and God has just blessed this meeting, and it keeps growing, and we're thankful for that, and won't you come back next year? I was thinking about all that, and then I was thinking about the message the Lord put on my heart, and then I had the thought to myself, well, it's been nice. It's been a nice run, because after today, maybe somebody won't come back. That's not my goal. There's some things that I'm afraid have crept into our Bible-believing churches that I don't hear many people saying much about. And so this morning, I'm going to preach a message, and I think I'll touch on some things that need to be said. But I'll say I don't set myself up as a spokesperson for any group of people. I represent, to the best of my ability, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this book, and I lead this church, and so we'll see what the Lord does. I won't be as mean as the preacher before me, but we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Mark chapter 16, look at verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." We'll continue reading in just for a moment. We are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. And praise the Lord that he is risen. Praise the Lord that he is not there. But if you could imagine the mindset, if you would, of his disciples as they have witnessed his brutal crucifixion, they have seen their world, they thought, taken from them. And now they come to the Sabbath day and they're wondering about the stone being rolled away and how is that going to take place? How is that going to happen? The stone is there because, you know, they had already set up the story that the disciples were going to steal his body. When they get to the tomb, they see the stone is rolled away, and bear in mind that their emotions are raw. They're probably not thinking as clear. We judge them sometimes as, why can't they figure this out? But you know how you feel when your world's been turned upside down. And they were afraid, as you and I would have been. Then there's that one in the long white garment, and he said unto them, "Don't be afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. He's not here. He's risen. Here's where he was." Then in verse 7, "But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." As they're processing all of this, this angel, this one says unto them, okay, it's time to go. He's on his way to Galilee. You will see him. So go tell the disciples. Can you imagine them kind of staggering a little bit and kind of getting their bearings before they go out? And I picture them starting to walk away. He says, "Go tell the disciples." And, oh yeah, don't forget Peter. Get the disciples and Peter. This is interesting to me because throughout the Gospels, Peter is a disciple. But now there has to be clarification that Peter is still a disciple. This morning I want to preach on this subject, no one left behind. No one left behind. Father, I pray that you would use your word this morning. May the Spirit of God help us. May we have your heart. Father, we can't be about others if there are some others who are left behind. Father, I pray that our heart would truly allow your Spirit to speak to us today. May we guard ourselves against unscriptural beliefs, philosophies. May we not get caught up in the things of this world and this philosophy and mindset. And may you use this today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We read the Scripture. It's good for us to be reminded that those on the pages of Scripture were flesh and blood, just as we are flesh and blood. It's important for us to remember that they had insecurities and failures, and here we see in this passage fears just as we do. I know you sit here today and you're the one who's never been afraid. You're the one who's always had it all together, and we'll let you sign our Bibles when the service is dismissed. But it's good for us to be reminded that these were normal people just as you and I were. They needed to be saved. They had to surrender. They had to yield. Everything that they did was because of God and not them. And I find this passage of Scripture, I find it interesting here that sometimes this gets lost in the resurrection story, which is understandably so. But as those disciples, they're told to go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. Why would that be said, the disciples and Peter? Now, let's just say what we know. The disciples had scattered. Peter, when Jesus was crucified, it is well documented in Scripture, and God wanted us to know and be aware and learn from the fact that Peter warned himself by the devil's fire. But here we find the angel saying, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Why would that be said? Well, perhaps the disciples had the same tendencies as we do today. See, if the disciples were to respond how their brethren do today, then Peter would have been left behind. No one would have reached out to him to help him. In fact, they would have sent word to him that they had decided he was no longer welcome among the disciples. If the disciples acted like their brethren of today, John would have been pulling other disciples aside in secret and reminding them of what Peter had done. I mean, after all, Peter did commit spiritual adultery by warming at the enemy's fire. He would warn them in the most sincere and Christian-sounding way. Nathaniel, you just need to be careful. We just need to protect our ministry. If the disciples were like the brethren today, then Matthew would have made a video, an angry video, and posted it to YouTube and social media, and condemn Peter in the most angry and self-righteous way possible. By the way, if you think of names and people when I go through this, don't get upset at me that I might would paint this picture. Ask yourself, why are you thinking of that person that pops in your head? Then Matthew would warn all the other disciples that if they did not do as he instructed, he would come after them and condemn them if they dared associate with Peter. Wow. Matthew would give a final warning that he would be watching. Nathaniel would eventually have organized a boycott of Pentecost. Could you imagine the social media post about Peter? Thomas would declare, I doubt he was sincere in the first place. James would have been on his soapbox and justified his unscriptural, pharisaical actions by declaring over and over, we can't cover up sin. There's no cover-ups. After the brethren spread their good work of eliminating Peter, the story would have eventually grown that Peter not only warmed himself by the devil's fire, but he actually had the hammer in his hand that nailed Jesus to the cross. If the disciples were like the brethren today, the only thing left for Peter to do would be to accept his fate and follow Judas's lead at ending his life. It is sad that amongst God's people today, it's not and Peter, it's not Peter. Too often among our independent Baptist brethren today, it's not an and Peter message, but it's an anybody but Peter sentiment. See, God had the angel mention Peter by name. I believe to remind them they were not in position to decide who gets used by God and who does not get used by God. I believe God wanted Peter to know he wasn't done with him. As these left that day and they found the disciples and said, he's not there, he's risen. He's on his way to Galilee. We're going to see him. And oh yeah, by the way, Peter, you were mentioned by name. I believe that he wanted those disciples to know that Peter was still a disciple. He wanted Peter to know he was still a disciple. Friend, I believe the scripture, and I believe there's scriptural precedent, and I know that the Bible tells me there's no new thing under the sun. And if Peter can warm himself by the devil's fire, and Peter can go back to that lifestyle, then and God would still include him. Friend, who are you and I to decide based on what we think we know about somebody who can be used and not used? You say, Pastor Neil, I don't see the relevance of this. Well, I do. This is my nation. This is my generation. And I believe the Spirit of God is hindered because instead of saying, and Peter, we're saying not Peter, and Peter, we're saying anybody but Peter. We wonder why we have no revival. Yet we cancel the Peters. By the way, if we're honest, we've all warmed by the devil's fire at some point. So don't use that as an excuse. What you want to cancel somebody over is equivalent to what somebody could cancel you over. In fact, all the disciples were guilty of a lack of faith and desertion. I wonder how many Peters could have been used at their Pentecost. But they were deemed unworthy and unusable by the brethren. This morning, you can take this and you can twist it and make it mean something that I do not intend. It won't be the first time. I'm not advocating we do anything God has not established. I'm just saying God is the decider and not men who are just as weak and frail themselves. Let's be honest. The other disciples weren't blameless. This morning, instead of reminding Peter of what he did, and who he was, the disciples, to their credit, put the priority on Christ's instructions. And friend, if I can just interject this, it's time that we stop being afraid of the Baptist bullies. It's time we stop being scared of these little men who can make a big deal over things that are not their business. Let's see. I just have three things, and hopefully we'll still have an appetite when we get out of here. But as we consider what the disciples did, and consider the response, how is it that they were able to accept Peter? Turn over to Acts chapter number 1 with me, if you will. Acts chapter number 1. And I promise you, the worst part's not over. Somebody's got to start speaking up for God's people. Somebody's got to start defending that book. And just because you have a title by your name or you have a... doesn't give you a right to put yourself in God's stead. In Acts chapter number 1, we find Christ ascending to heaven and leaving instructions for his disciples. And he tells them to go to the world, reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. We know that they had to have the Spirit's power. We know that there were to be witnesses. But we find in Acts chapter number 2, the miracle of Pentecost. We find the 3,000 saved. Now today, I still believe God can do a miracle equal and greater than that. So we must ask ourselves, why are these miracles not taking place? Is it because the Bible is not true anymore? The Bible's still true. Is it the message is watered down? Well, we water the message down, but the death, the burial, and the resurrection is still what changes the eternity of a lost sinner. Is Jesus still the answer? Absolutely, he's the answer. Is the Spirit of God now inept and incapable? Absolutely not. He's just as capable as he's ever been. He has no limitations. So why is it that we have no miracles today? It's not because the previous generation did things wrong. It's not because of all the things that are said today. I will submit to you this morning that there's still miracles to be had, but we must follow what God has set in order to have the miracle. We find in Acts chapter number 1, we find that after he gives this admonition, they're stunned by what they see. They're admonished to go back to Jerusalem and get the power of God. We see them in verses 12 all the way down, we see them assemble together in the upper room. Then they go to do what God has said. Let me say number 1, the reason why they were able to leave no one behind is because they were in agreement on fulfilling Christ's commands. Amen. It was truly about Christ and what he commanded. See, there was no canceling. We'll criticize the culture for canceling someone, but we're okay with a Baptist doing it. See, gossip and discord sowing is hindering the work Christ called us to do. Hold your place in Acts 1, we'll come back to it, but a passage you probably know pretty well, Proverbs chapter number 6. Even if you know it, I want you to see it. Proverbs 6, verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. If God hates something, I need to pay attention to it. Seven are an abomination unto Him. Now, if you didn't know what the seventh one was, you see that word abomination, you might think it's homosexuality, which is an abomination unto God still. But lo and behold, there's more than one abomination to God. Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Proverbs 24, verse 16, we know it, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. When I read that passage of Scripture, I say, and I've taught this to my people, don't fall. But if you do, get up. I think of a story that I get reminded of by my family every once in a while. It's in a house we lived in some years ago. All three of our children were still at home, and they were younger, and we had a bonus room upstairs, and Sunday night, we all came home from church, My mother's from Alabama, my dad's from Georgia. I had my socks and shoes already off, man. I was ready for Sunday night. Ran upstairs, ran downstairs, and we had a old baby gate at the bottom of the stairs. We didn't have any more babies, but we had a dog that wasn't allowed upstairs. And I would always just hop over that or take a real big step over that. But this Sunday night, those baby gates have those little square wire fencing on. You know what I'm talking about? My big toe got caught right in the top of one. And before you know it, there was a big fall. I'm laying in the floor. I'm groaning. And then it's all the kids, my wife, are like, okay, what do we do? My wife comes over. She's like, are you okay? What do you want me to do? I wouldn't respond. Finally, this is the truth that you can ask them. This is the words that came to my mind. I said, I really don't want to have a conversation right now. After a moment, when they realized that I was going to live, they all laughed. Ha, ha, ha. It's been 10 plus years since that happened. But when I come home on Sunday night, it's not, there's the dad that fell. It's, there's dad. Because I didn't stay down. I got up. Let me be very, very clear, because I don't want anybody to misconstrue what I'm saying. I would rather associate with a person who fell and got up than the one who is telling everyone about the person who fell. Let me say that again. I would rather associate with the person who fell and got up than the one who is telling everyone about the person who fell, because the one who's telling everybody about the person who fell is fallen and still hasn't gotten back up yet. See, my Bible applauds the one who doesn't stay down and condemns the one who spreads it. Let me tell you why we have no revival. It's not because Peter fell. It's because we have gossips and discord sowers in the pulpit. We'll preach this passage to our people. But let me tell you what would do as good in every preacher's fellowship across the country is for somebody to get up and preach about gossiping and discord sowing. That's why we have no revival. My Bible tells me that discord sowers are equal to homosexuals as far as an abomination goes. The hindrance of revival is not that we have flawed men serving or men standing by the accused. It's because we have unrepentant discord sowers and gossips on national platforms. Because these men are not spiritual men. Because the Bible says, ye who are spiritual, restore. No wonder there's no move of God. No wonder there's no Pentecost. No wonder there's no revival. Because the ones we're looking to, and by the way, it takes more than a hashtag to bring revival. We must all be in agreement on what the cause is, and it's agreement on fulfilling Christ's commands. This is how far we've lost our way. We mark those who got back up and are restored, and to celebrate the abomination as being brave. Number two. Instead of reminding Peter of what he did and who he was, the disciples prioritized the local church. In Acts chapter number 1, we find the local church. They went up into that upper room, and there's a list of people who were there. This is the work of God through His church. By the way, let me remind all of us, that's who Christ commissioned. He didn't commission a mission board. He didn't commission the Boy Scouts. He didn't commission any other organization, the church. They were part of the church. They prioritized the local church. And friend, we need to prioritize the local church again. I'm the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Just because you got a YouTube channel doesn't mean you pastor my church. Doesn't mean you have a right to give your opinion about my church. Because let me tell you, I don't care what your opinion is. And whatever church you pastor, you're the pastor of that church. It's nobody else's business what you do in that church. It's between you and God, not the rest of the brethren. We need to prioritize the local church. Don't fall prey to this smoke screen, this self-righteous talk. As well, we got to protect the cause of Christ. I think Christ can protect His cause very, very well. I think God is still in control, and the Spirit of God can still move, but what He wants is a prioritizing of the local church. By the way, Nathan the prophet didn't expose the sin of David to the world. He confronted David in private. We must stop this unscriptural act, this satanic act of exposing other sins to the world. It's the work of the devil. But they're a pastor. It's the work of the devil. It's no one's business what you do in your church. By the way, I'm weary of evangelists and mission boards hindering the work of God by usurping the autonomy of the local church. Hear this in the context I'm saying it. It's time those two get put back in their place under the local church, not over the local church. By the way, if you haven't attended Sunday school in 40 years, I'm not interested in your opinion on church growth. How dare we overstep the autonomy of the local church? You say, why are you airing all these grievances? I'm not airing all these grievances. I'm just saying there's some Peters who God still wants to use. There's some who God still has a plan for. And instead of us setting ourselves up and looking down our nose, we ought to be reminded of who we are, sinners saved by the grace of God. And we ought to be willing to put the local church the priority it has. Number three, and I'll be done. We find in Acts chapter number 1, I touched on this in our church Sunday morning. In verse 13, we find the disciples listed. In our text in the book of Mark, we find that angel saying, "Go tell the disciples and Peter." Listed in the upper room, the first name mentioned is Peter. The disciples are all listed there, and these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They were comfortable with each other. With the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you don't quite see the significance of this yet, let me help you. Number three, what I'm preaching this morning, what I'm reminding us of this morning, was all a work of the Holy Spirit. Because let's just be honest. We have a problem with that, what I'm preaching this morning. It's in our nature. The only way that we can overcome that in our own heart and our own life is a work of the Spirit of God. It was preached just a moment ago. As I increase myself, it's easy for me to say, "Oh, not Peter. How dare Peter? Why bring Peter back? Haven't we already learned our lesson? What are people going to say?" Can you imagine the social media campaign that's going to go on? Can you imagine the conversations that are going to take place? Well, thank God there were some people in that early church who let the Spirit of God do what only He can do. You know how easy it would have been for Mary, the mother of Jesus, to not let Peter back in? "Where were you, Peter? When my son was being whipped with those cat of nine tails. When his blood was splattering on the ground. You were at the fire with the very people who did that to him." It'd have been easy for her to say, "I can't get on board with this. You just have to forgive me. It's my son." But there is a work of the Holy Spirit. There is a yielding of the Holy Spirit. And now Mary and the other disciples, including Peter, were praying there for the very people who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was never about them and their successes and their failures. It was about the blood that was shed on Calvary. It was about the grace of an almighty God. There's got to be forgiveness. There's got to be grace. It's a troubling thing when you preach on something that's clear in the Scripture and you have to consider the backlash you're going to get from the brethren. Yeah. No one left behind. Let me say this and tie it all up this morning. If God can use Peter at Pentecost, God can use you in your Sunday school class. God can use you in your church or in your town to make a difference. We all have a problem. Many times we just only see our inadequacies. What can God do with me? Well, I just want to remind you this morning that God can use you. God wants to use you. Don't quit. Don't give up. Serve. Live a holy life. See, we must be reminded, we know the end of the story. Peter didn't know how God was going to use him. Oh, Peter, it's not such a big deal. You got to remind other passages of Scripture, when Jesus came, Peter was on the boat necking. And now we find him preaching at Pentecost. Now, see, here's the problem. Just as the priests and the Pharisees, they canceled Jesus, we have some. They still have Baptists by their name. They still check all the doctrinal boxes. They have the big following in many cases. They would still cancel him as well because they deem themselves to be the ones who can be used. Friend, everybody can do what they want to do. It's a free country. But let's not complain about no revival. Let's just be honest. Instead of blaming the Democrats, why don't we look ourselves in the mirror and realize that it's our bitterness, our unforgiveness, our envy, all of those things that is in our heart that is quenching the Spirit of God, that is hindering the Spirit of God. But it's easy to blame everything else than what the situation is. See, everybody else can do what they want to do. I'm not leaving anybody behind. I'm going to preach, stay close to this book. Don't fall. But if you do, you have a chance to be a success again. What do I have to do? Just get back up. Just get back up. And once you're up, I'm not real interested in talking about the fall. Let's just serve and let's come alongside everybody who God places alongside. By the way, David's mighty men were a bunch of criminals. David's mighty men were a bunch of outcasts that God put in a cave together and God established his kingdom through them. God is always going to use those. Hey, you don't think there were people there at Pentecost scratching their heads seeing Peter up there? You were just by our fire. You were just using the same words we were using. And now you're up there preaching us the gospel with boldness, with fervor. Only Jesus could do that. It must be true. There must be something to this because only God could change a life like that. Only God could bring somebody back. I'm for Peter. Why is it that we've gotten to a place where it's either the disciples or Peter? Well, I'm for John. I'm glad you're for John. But Peter's a disciple too. Let's not leave anyone behind. Friend, if the devil's still beating you up, won't you just take your mind back to that song that was sung just a moment ago? The blood is still there. And the Baptist Gestapo has their little list. Don't worry about that. Because when God opens your account in heaven, none of that's there. It's only the blood of His Son. And God has recorded in this book nothing but flawed people, people nobody else would use, to elevate Himself. And if you don't have any baggage, He's still going to have to bring you down. He's still going to have to humble you in order to use you. There's people in our towns, no matter where you're from, nobody has to tell them what's in their past. They know. Be very careful in the midst of a strong stand, and I believe in a strong stand. I believe in planting your feet on the Word of God and not budging. But in the midst of a strong stand, may we also say, there's one place you can still come. I want people to spread the Word. You can come to the Emmanuel Baptist Church. You'll get the help you need. You'll be loved. You'll be embraced, because it's God who does the work. Let's not leave anyone behind. If you're discouraged this morning, be encouraged. God can still use you. Friend, may we be reminded it's not about us. Well, I think John should have preached Pentecost. Will you talk to God about that? You talk to him about that. Well, I think it should have been James. You talk to God about that. And friend, we ought to keep that. I'm not saying lower the standards. You keep that standard high. But it's not your place. It's not my place to stand in the stead of God and tell God how he has to do what we want him to do. God, we need to have revival. We got Trump in. Give us revival. God ain't listening to that. God, we want revival. We're praying for revival. You can pray for revival till you're blue in the face, until you stop sowing discord among churches. God's not going to hear that. God's not going to answer that. There's at least one man in this country who will say publicly, you're the obstacle to revival. You're the hindrance to revival, because my Bible still tells me that discord sowing is an abomination. Amen. We would say it's blasphemy for the homosexuals to say, God, give us revival. God, give us revival. We would say, repent of your abomination. Well, friend, an abomination is an abomination. And if we're sowing discord, give us revival. Give us revival. It's not going to happen until we repent of our discord sowing, which God says is an abomination. Let's just determine to not leave one other behind. You served two tours. You never left anybody behind, did you? You'd risk your life for a wounded man. You'd be willing to die because you're not leaving a brother wounded to die. We're in a spiritual war. We have an enemy that's greater than us, not greater than the Lord. Why is it when they get wounded, they should have been a better Christian? It's like telling our soldiers, you should have been a better soldier. You wouldn't have got shot. Why don't we risk a little bit of reputation to not leave anybody behind? Why don't we risk a speaking engagement or two. Matter of fact, if somebody cancels me for standing by somebody, they just save me the phone call. I got 3 days on my calendar. Awesome. Pastor Neil, I just don't share your spirit. I'm not coming back. Well, you know, pay for your own hotel room when you leave in the morning. I mean, if we're going to be petty about it. I don't know if the occasion ever called for you to go bring a brother back. But I imagine how hopeless they would feel laying there until somebody wearing those same colors. I imagine if they're laying there wounded and you come to bring them out, they're not going to say, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's not who I expected." You could be that person. Somebody you love. Matter of fact, we've all been that person. Well, I didn't. You did things equally as bad. God doesn't have the same list that we make. Let's leave nobody behind. Leave nobody behind. Father, I pray that you would use